WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Yes, he is. Yes, yes, yes.
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious fixin' right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Does this song apply to a woman who's with a man that you want?
Yes.
Fuck you. She knows who she is, and this is The Rack. Hello, everyone. This is Jackie, and I am with that vicious vixen, Lindsay, and with us, as always, is our producer, Rock. Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great now.
Yeah, I saw your news in the chat. All I can say is you lucky devil, you.
Yeah, we have to talk about that a little bit further, but Rock, are you going to be okay with us with the ice cream belly? I guess not.
Yeah,
apparently not. He's already out.
I'm already out. Ice cream belly. Yeah, I'm good. I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay, well, welcome everybody to The Rack. This is the second to last show before WrestleMania.
Yes.
And we have a lot to talk about. This is going to be a very good show. And do we want to run right into it?
What else will we do?
I don't know.
At least when Rock calls back, you got a message from later.
I haven't even read it yet. And you know, it's going to be something like totally, completely and totally intellectual. And I'm going to be like, Lindsay, I don't get it.
That's okay. That's why we love him.
It is. Okay, so let's talk about some people who are not quite up to his level. Let's talk about Punk and Jericho.
Worse for me.
Okay, so one thing that I want to bring up about Punk and Jericho specifically, and just either of you jump in, I have to give Punk and Jericho a huge amount of credit. I am of the belief that nothing ever goes on television that they don't have planned to the T. I've always used the Owen Hart incident as an example. That's something that took the WWE totally by surprise. No one knew that was going to happen, but they still managed to keep it off TV. Having said that, Punk and Jericho have caused some rifts where some people who, well, I won't go there, but some people are questioning whether or not the heat between Punk and Jericho is legit or if it's a work. And I say, I believe it's a work, but I gotta give them credit. They've got people talking at least.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a really funny feeling that, you know, they wouldn't go there with that unless they had at least given Punk a warning first, especially concerning what happened on Raw this week, what happened on Raw last week, concerning the pre-taped segments. I mean, just because Punk's reaction, at least last week, wasn't necessarily huge, but this week, when they brought up his sister and her addictions, yeah, he may have gotten them accidentally fined by the FCC. We're not entirely sure on that yet, but
it's really kind of one of those things where if you can, I mean, if you can make people question you like that, then I think, you know, it says you're damn good. And Rock, maybe that's why these two are both considered to be the best at what they do.
Yeah, it would. You heard Jericho last night talk about, you know, he only wanted to come back to do a really good storyline, and this is what he's doing, and it's a complete work. You can tell, just, you don't bring that type of stuff up if you know, it's not Rock Cena. You're not going there. There's no
right.
heat. Because Jericho comes out, and he's actually praising Punk in most of the appearances he does. You won't hear Cena or The Rock do that right now.
Right. No. And you don't work across either of these guys unless you're as good as they are. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, he's insulting you, and yeah, he's been calling you names, and yeah, he's making fun of your sister, and blah, blah, blah. But the fact that you're out there working across from him, it's he's giving you a rub, basically.
I would
basically,
agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I have to say, this past week, I think it was on Raw. Yeah, on Raw. I have never laughed hard. I haven't laughed harder at anything on WWE TV in the last few months when I heard, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say anything bad about your father. Now let's talk about your sister." Like, oh God.
That was a brilliant setup. It's like, cause Jericho comes on, and I'll admit we were sitting here talking on Skype while we were watching it, cause I listened to Raw through Jackie's microphone, because yeah, I'm on a 3-hour delay. Fuck you, Comcast. I'm gonna keep bringing that up until they change the damn fees, which will probably be until the end of time, but still. I had to listen to it through Jackie's feed, so I started hearing Jericho apologizing for, bringing up Punk's father, and it's like, what the hell are you doing, man? Of course, they're going to take the pussy way out, and then he goes, you know, it's wrong to talk about your father, but what about your sister? And it's like, okay, yeah, that was good. Yeah. Well done. Well played. Very well played, sir.
And to be the real dick, he's doing it when he's not there.
I know.
Yes. It's in a pre-taped segment that's being broadcast, and Punk has nothing, he can't stop it. Unless he goes out there and he starts GTSing everybody in the production truck, which I don't think he can make it back there fast enough, he can't stop Jericho from saying it.
Nope.
It was pretty funny, I'll give them credit. And what's funny is that I think a lot of the people who think this is a work, what's causing them, and we talked about this a little bit last night on the other show that we did, just another goddamn wrestling show. Punk looked like he was off his game. Punk looked like he was thrown. I'm sorry, but I think that's the way it was supposed to look.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Jericho is making it personal. I don't recall anyone in Punk's history ever making it that personal.
As far as in World Wrestling Entertainment, probably not.
Right, and it is very possible, and I'm not saying, you know, that I know 100% fact he wasn't off his game. We don't know. He could have been sick, you know, he could be, and there's any number of reasons why he may be off his game, but I don't think
off being off his game, what I think they meant by, it's like, he's not the Punk from last year, he's sort of getting back to the old Punk, and he's not dropping the pipe bomb. As it were, he has not dropped that pipe bomb yet on Chris Jericho.
That will probably happen Monday.
That will either happen. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that will happen Monday, or it will happen right before WrestleMania. Something, they're building to that moment. They are doing, one thing I will give this feud is when they first started this feud, I had no interest in really seeing it. And they have sucked me in with this. I don't want to see the match, but I love the build that they have done for this. Mm-hmm. And how methodical and how personal it's become, because they started with, I'm the best in the world. No, I'm the best in the world. It's like, okay, well, you're going to fight over that. I suppose it's better than a shampoo commercial. And now they've taken it to that next level. It's gone beyond I'm the best in the world. It's now gone personal.
Right.
I was just going to say, one thing that was interesting is Punk had a chance to take a shot at Jericho concerning Fozzy. They interviewed him, or somebody asked him about Fozzy, and he didn't take the shot. He was very, you know, I understand that's his passion, it's just not my cup of tea, I don't like it. But yet, you've got Jericho making it personal. So you have Punk playing almost a pure babyface in this sense.
What gets me about this whole thing with Punk is that Punk was who he was for the last few years, and then he became the Punk that he was this summer, and it was great. And I hope that Punk is still there. But here's what gets me. Fans on the internet bitch a lot. about a lot of things, okay?
No. Really?
And I'm not saying I'm not one of them. I went on a rant last week, so I'm not saying I'm not one of them. But here's one thing that gets me. WWE doesn't develop their characters. These characters suck. We can't emotionally attach to characters because they're not progressed and da-da-da-da, and they're the same and da-da-da. And so Punk was who he was over the summer. And now he's involved in this feud, and he's changed somewhat because the character is changed. We've learned something about this character that we didn't know. We always knew that Punk was straight edge. We've always known that. But knowing that Punk is straight edge because he came from this unfortunately tragic background does add an element to the character. And now this character is exposed.
Right.
And he's growing and he's changing. He's not the same character he was some time ago. And they're still bitching.
Well, here's the thing. They expect Punk to be that Punk from the summer, and I agree. I like the fact that Punk has developed. He's changed. And while I love it when Punk drops the pipe bombs, in this instance, it's almost uncalled for because the type of pipe bombs he was dropping over the summer and the type of one he needs to drop now are almost two different promos. You know, he was very, very controversial in the summer. He's very, 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 I guess the word I'm looking for is impetuous. You know, he fucked authority. He basically said F you to the powers that be in the WWE. And he can't really do that here. He was playing the anti-hero over the summer, and now he's playing the straight-up hero, where it's you're seeing him exposed for his flaws.
Right.
Where we saw his strengths over the summer, and now we're seeing him as almost a flawed individual. Where it's, well, you know, you're straight edge, and that's great, but you're straight edge because your father was a drunk, your sister's a drug addict. And I think I don't know if he brought up the fact that his sister was a drug addict or not in an interview. I want to say he did, but, you know, we see that flaw now, and so you almost pity him in a way, and I think that's what's more, would piss him off, is not necessarily this got exposed, it's now, oh, well, he's now this tragic figure that, oh, well, you're straight edge because, you know, your dad, you had all these problems growing up. Oh, how bad for you. I'm so sorry for you. People pity him, and I don't think he wants that.
So that's just, at least the way I see it, is it's another step for the character. We now pity him. Let's say, okay, we do pity him. Now, how is CM Punk going to handle this? I mean, I love a good pipe bomb. I mean, you cannot watch WWE and not think this guy is just great, but is a pipe bomb the answer for everything?
It depends on what type of pipe bomb you drop. Like I do this Saturday night live, midnight-ish on CB Radio.
Well done.
Cheap plug. No, but I think what Punk has to do this week on Raw, he has to get into Jericho's head.
You know, right.
He can't take the shots at Dancing with the Stars or Fozzy. He's got to get personal with Chris Jericho to get them back on that even playing field. Expose Jericho in some fashion. What that is, I'm not sure. But that's where you have to go with Punk now. He has to get into Jericho's head if he wants to be on the same level going into Mania.
And I would love to see that. I would love to.
Yeah. And also one thing, you know, as far as Punk being off his game, you know, it has to suck to go out there and just kind of sort of fill time until they're going to air this video of Chris Jericho. So I think that was part of it, too. Had this been a face-to-face exchange, it probably would have been a little bit better.
Right.
But, you know, basically they sent Punk out there and they're like, okay, go talk for five minutes or so. And then, you know, just bullshit and whine about your dad or whine about what Jericho did. And then we're going to air the video and then Jericho's going to drop the bomb on you and you're going to act all pissed off. So well, I think that might have thrown him too, or at least thrown the fans.
One other thing that I want to bring up, I'm getting some messages from some people who are listening on Skype. And apparently on his appearance on Fallon last night, Jericho was out of character.
Oh, totally. He's not the dick he is on TV, and that's fine, because last night on Jimmy Fallon, he was doing a version of MC Hammer's Can't Touch This, saying Jean-Claude Van Damme in the lyrics. Don't ask me why, that's what he was doing, and he was doing the MC.
He's Jericho, we don't worry about
it. And it was funny. It was really funny. But, you know, the guy who goes out on appearances, he talks about how he plays a character on TV and how he's the bad guy on TV. When he's in the interviews, he's not, because he's trying to sell the product, not the character on these appearances.
But that's right. And I agree with you on that, but that's what gets me, is that people are really taking this seriously.
Well, yeah, the believability factor is there. There's enough reality and there's enough truth in this storyline that it's very easy for you to suspend your belief and just buy into it as a mark. The storytelling, the drama, all of it is there.
Right.
That you can just sit back and you can watch it and you completely buy into it. And I think that's awesome, the fact that they're doing that and they can do that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and they really haven't touched that much, at least physically. I think they've only had two matches together, maybe, if that. But in the last couple weeks, I don't think they've had any matches, and it's all been verbal, which has been awesome.
They were both involved in a multiple tag match, and then the match where Jericho got the pin over Punk.
Yes.
So yeah, there's two, and I guess it's just kind of one of those things where I just don't. I get genuinely surprised that how, even in this day and age, people still, for two reasons, why people go on to even wonder, oh, this is legitimate heat and blah, blah, blah. I mean, number one, again, I don't think they're going to let anything happen on TV. If Jericho and Punk really did hate each other in real life and they got into a fight, I just don't think it's going to roll over on TV. WWE won't let it. But then also, even if they do have legitimate beef, who cares? If these two really don't like each other behind the scenes, but are willing to work together for the sake of the business, I really don't see why it matters.
And that goes back to 2004, 2005, 2006. I can't remember the year off the top of my head. It might have been 2005, the whole Matt Hardy Edge thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
They had personal heat, and they still work together.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, obviously they had some heat. And they both had Lita, too. Just saying.
Everyone's had Lita.
Thank you for beating me to it. But, yeah, even if they did, they're doing it for the sake of the business. And if there is legit heat there, it only adds to it.
Right. Yeah,
because it's a way that you can bring it in, but if you bring it in correctly, it works.
The one thing I've enjoyed about this story, the other night on WTR, I posed a question, is this being overshadowed? And now that I'm thinking about it, after, you know, the last few days, it's like, okay, they started decently with this feud, right after Jericho won the Battle Royal. They kind of cooled it off a little, they put it in the ring for a little bit, and now as they're ramping up to WrestleMania, they've ramped up the feud, they're building it, and it's going to peak at WrestleMania.
Which is what you want.
While the other feuds are kind of, they peaked early and they're starting to come down.
Well, and we were talking, we had a bit of a conversation yesterday about how Raw ended for Shawn, Taker, and Triple H. Mm-hmm. My guess would be that this feud is going to have its big ending this coming Monday. I think this will be the feud that closes the show.
No.
We're going to subject us to Rock Cena again.
That's the money match. This will get time. Trust me, this will get time. If it's not the start, this is going to be the highlight 10 o'clock hour, you know, the ramp them up segment at 10 o'clock, which they've been doing with Taker, Shawn, and Hunter for the last few weeks. This will get that slot. This is going to get time. They're going to sell this match. They're going to sell it hard on Monday night.
Am I the only one, by a yay or nay, that would rather see this match close Monday Night Raw than Cena Rock?
Actually, I would rather them not do really anything with this match, because they kind of did a perfect setup for it this past Monday with them closing the show and Taker taking the parting shot at Hunter and Shawn LOLing next to him, or Taker strokes Shawn's ego to kind of bring him back over to his side a little bit. that was a perfect setup because it puts that now that doubt of there's friction between Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Is he going to call this down the middle now?
I thought you were talking about the Punk Jericho thing. Closing the show. That's where I thought you were going with that. I think we're all in agreement that they're not doing anything with those three on Raw.
Oh, those three? Taker, Taker, Trips, and Shawn? I don't know. I don't think we'll see anything from them this Monday.
Right.
But no, in reference to Jericho Punk, no, they shouldn't close the show. They should have them either open or be somewhere in the midpoint of the show, but Rock scene is going to close because that's the go-home for WrestleMania. That's the only TV they've got this week.
I'm so over Roxanne. I'm so sick of it already. Especially with, like, that whatever it is that they have, whatever show it's going to be on before Raw, Once in a Lifetime, whatever. I'm not even going to watch that show.
It's going to be a lot of out-of-the-ring type things. It's going to be a lot of following these two all, as they gear up for the show. I have a feeling it's going to be well done, honestly. It's going to be a takeoff what they do on HBO. It's going to be a takeoff what UFC has been doing with their countdown shows, how they hype the big fights. It could be actually pretty good, and it's going to be one of those things it's not for us. This Rock Cena special is not for us. It's for everybody else out there who's not a wrestling fan to get them to buy this match, because it's going to air, I believe, at least 10 times throughout the week.
Yeah, something that's funny. They're airing it on Oxygen. This is a women's network.
Vince is getting his money worth out of it, goddammit.
I think that's great. I mean, more women should watch wrestling.
Because that's all part of the NBC Universal family. It's airing on all those channels. So it's going to get... It's designed to get the non-wrestling fan to buy a wrestling match.
Well, good. Then they won't care that I'm not going to watch it because it's not for me.
It really isn't. It's not for us because we've already seen it, heard it. We're going to see it on Monday. It's for everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, let's take this and kind of segue into another topic. There's been some talk about the fact that there may be some announcements happening soon for the card of WrestleMania 29. Now, one of the reasons, honestly, that I'm sitting here nauseated at the thought of more of Rock and Cena is because I've been listening to it for a year.
Okay.
And now they're talking about possibly doing it again.
God, I hope not. I mean, my only thing is they have pushed this as never before, never again. I mean, I got my copy of WWE Magazine, and it's got the promo in there, you know, never before, never again. Right there, Once in a Lifetime, right there on the front cover is, you know, the first thing that you see. So it's, yeah, I mean, to do it again, really? Are you guys that lazy? Because we're getting Trips Taker for the third time.
Right.
Let's see, they're doing Rock Cena, Trips Taker for the third time. In the past couple of years, Taker's main events have been repeats. It just feels like lazy booking to do it again. I get you're trying to get your money's worth, but after this, once we see it, what in hell makes you think we're going to want to see it again unless you do an epic finish to this? Like they both fall over dead in the ring or something, and
well,
there is no win.
I don't necessarily, and I'm just, you know, speaking for someone who has not heard anything concrete yet, if none of us have, I don't think it'll be Rock Cena again. I hope to God it won't be Rock Cena, and I hope to God it won't be Undertaker and Triple H for the 50th time. My beef with this is not so much the fact that it's any particular person, so much that it's, again, pushing a match a year in advance. I mean, my judgment could very well be clouded by the fact that I'm not a big fan of The Rock nor Cena. I'm on Netflix, and I tried to watch the John Cena Experience, and quite literally, I couldn't get through it all. So I'm not a fan of either of these guys. So I'm very the first one to admit my judgment may be clouded, but I'm already over this match. I'm ready to see it now just to get it the fuck over with.
Yeah, it's a little you know, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, there's a rumor going around that they're going to announce WrestleMania 29's main event at the Raw after Mania, which is what they did last year. And it's, you know, for Rock Cena, okay, I get it. I totally get it. It's a big match. You want to push it. But doing that every year or doing that 2 years in a row is a little much, because honestly, they pissed the build away on Rock Cena, and they really did it wrong over the past year. And, you know, it is to the point that a lot of people, at least in the IWC, from what I've heard, don't care about this match. They don't want to see it. It's whatever. Just get it over with. You know, to push it a year in advance, it's a little much. I'm sorry. If you're going to make your big announcements, make them when the tickets go on sale. There's a thought. Hey, let's announce our main event when the tickets go on sale, and then maybe, just maybe, ticket sales might take off.
Well, here's another interesting point to make about this. At least, I think it's an interesting point. Not only are they announcing the possibility, or not only is there rumor of an announcement of the WrestleMania 29 main event coming up sometime soon, let's look at the four names that are being touted as very likely involved. Rock, Austin, Taker, and Cena. Now, what do these four names have in common? Three of those four names have in common.
They are the biggest names in the company.
Well, yes, but that's not what I'm getting at.
Three of them are on the card this year.
But that's not it either. Close, but no. Rock, Austin, Taker. Are
Attitude Era.
Attitude Era, also hardly ever around. Taker's once a year. Rock has been gone for a while. When was the last time Austin? We haven't seen Austin since WrestleMania last year.
No, that's not true. Austin, I think, has shown up.
June, Tough Enough.
Yeah, for Tough Enough, and then I think he's made sporadic appearances. But here's the thing. For guys like that, you can have them show up once a year, and it works. Because people will always pop for them. I mean, you saw what happened when Taker showed up.
Yeah.
And how much the viewership went up and the what happened on Twitter and everything. You know, for the same thing for The Rock. When The Rock showed back up and he was announced last year as the guest host, people blew the roof. Austin shows up, people do the same thing. So to say that Austin is going, you know, especially when you consider that Austin will be on the card next year, that will sell tickets. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is who are they going to face? I'm hoping they do Austin Punk.
Right. I want to tease this. Austin is going to be the main event of next year's WrestleMania, and it's going to tie in to this year's WrestleMania, but we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's go to break on that. I'll finish that up on the other side of the break. So send us out, please.
Well, you guys come back. We will be here, and we're going to talk more about WrestleMania 29.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I suck.
Yes, you do. I just want to listen.
As my world turns, the heartbeat, not only in my chest, but the heart in the street. So when they feel this, they feel me, but I can't feel nothing outside these great beats. Came from the city of people, came from the bottom, standing on top. I was supposed to be my coffin, what's up? Exception shows me as a dead man walking, but reflection shows this kid still got it. Better be known, I got the throne like I don't know that they're the king. Never grew up around a family, cause I'm not a human being. And anyone on the motherfucker that's coming in my spot for the top, let them have it, cause when I leave, the whole world drops. Lace up, kill.
Previously on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show.
All right. But
apparently it's going to be a very special musical episode. There's going to be like the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
You know, one week we might actually do that. I should have picked that as my topic thing.
Oh, shoot.
Everybody sings? Fuck you.
You have to find your own news brief and write a song about it.
Oh, God.
Man, that's like...
I know what mine would have been. Strawberry found dead in the ditch.
Nice. Well played, sir. Well played.
Just another goddamn wrestling show on Wild Talk Radio.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! And when I am not making videos about that faggot, oh, okay, I am listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now what you gonna do, brother, when the warrior rips off a promo on you?
People always ask me why they should listen to Wrestle Talk Radio, and Lindsay and I are here to tell you why.
You need to listen for the smart, intelligent, and insightful comments from the end-all be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the one, the only, the Omega.
Oh God, did he tell you to say that?
Well, of course. It was part of his dictation.
Oh God, Lindsay.
What? I can't help that he gives good dictation, and you know what happens if I don't take it just right.
Anyway, you need to listen to Omega and everyone else on Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Plus, Omega looks really good in a Wonder Bra.
Looking for an excuse to be home on a Saturday night? Then tune in Saturday nights at midnight-ish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Tweet your friends right on their wall. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment. See, this is power. This voice, this is power. In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb. A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out.
On March 24th, the truth gets told. The pipe bomb gets dropped. Tune in. It's your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. It's CB Radio. Or in other words, it's just another jerking off podcast, right?
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out.
Tune in Saturday nights at midnight-ish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Hello out there. This is the very boring Jay Lethal, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back, everyone, to The Rack. I am Jackie, that is Lindsay and Brock, and we are here on the Wild Talk Radio Network discussing the debauchery and the sin and... Oh, go ahead. What was that?
I didn't say a word. I'm just laughing.
Okay. That will be them ruining the WrestleMania 29 card early.
We don't know that they're going to ruin the 29 card early. If they announce the main event a year ahead again, I'm going to call their sanity into question, because really, we don't need it a year in advance. I mean, I understand the public needs it a year in advance, or so they think, but honestly, you announce your main event right before your tickets go on sale, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, it's going to have the same impact, because here's the problem. You announce it a year in advance, and then tickets go on sale, what, 6 months after you make the announcement? Everybody's going to have forgotten by then.
Right. Now, I'm going to throw this out there to both of you, and we'll see where it goes from here, but here's a scenario that could work. John Cena beats The Rock this coming April 1st, or I should say April 21st, but, you know. But no, at April 1st at WrestleMania 28, John Cena beats The Rock in his own hometown of Miami, Florida, and goes, okay, he's beaten the best wrestler of that generation, or maybe not. You don't announce the match, but you announce, next year, returning to the ring, is Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can announce him returning to the ring in April. You don't say who he's fighting. You don't say, you just say at WrestleMania, he's fighting next year at WrestleMania. You don't say who he's fighting. The match you book is John Cena versus Stone Cold Steve Austin as your headlining main event at next year's WrestleMania.
No.
That would certainly free up The Rock to face Taker.
Well, here's the thing. Austin has said he'd come back and he would face Punk. And they've been kind of going on at it on Twitter. And that's actually what I would prefer to see, is Austin come back and face Punk. Because if you've ever got a 180 situation, there it is right there.
Oh, I understand completely, and I understand the logic of wanting that match. I would want to see that match as well. But it's what is going to draw the most for WrestleMania.
See, that's the thing. It depends on... Okay, from my perspective, it would depend on who they're targeting. If you're targeting all the little Jimmies out there, then you want it to be Cena. But I can already tell you that half of the, I would say 3/4 to 100% of the IWC is going to have a fucking fit if Stone Cold comes back and faces Cena.
Yeah, I mean, it's... They would have to do a really brilliant setup for Austin Cena to make that work, because Punk and Austin have already, like I said, set it up on Twitter, and it would be easier for them to do. Plus, honestly, in between, you know, Rock and Cena facing Taker, I'd rather see Taker face Cena, just because it's the, you know, if you want to do new school versus old school, to have your top guy of your new school face the top guy of the old school, I think is a better book than Rock versus Taker. But Rock versus Taker would draw well too, just because it's two Attitude Era guys that never really ever mixed it up that much, finally butting heads at Mania, and Rock's going for the streak. And that would be essentially an easier build, because they're not there. And you could do that more with promos and out-of-ring work, whereas Cena's there every week and Taker's only there once a year.
Well,
unless Taker...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, unless Taker walks out of Hell in the Cell and he's healthy enough that he can come back for a part-time schedule.
Now, here's my question then. My reasoning, my point of view for thinking that it would be Rock versus Taker would be Rock's statement that when he comes back, he's going to do something that he's never done before. So let's keep that in mind and say, what is something else that Rock could do at next year's Mania that he's never done before besides face Taker for the streak? Because he did make that very clear, that he's going to do something he's not done before. He's faced Austin before. He's faced Cena before. Or he will at that point have faced Cena.
Well, here's another hypothetical. Okay, last year you had Cena versus The Miz. Rock comes in, interferes, costs Cena the match, gets Miz the win, and then he rock bottoms Miz at Mania. Presumably this year, Miz not having a match will interfere in some capacity and will cost one of them a match. He could cost The Rock the match. So what's to say that we may not have, you know, Rock versus Miz? Or something along those lines. I mean, it's ridiculous, but, I mean, Rock could potentially face anybody on that roster.
Right.
And it would be fine.
It's a possibility, definitely.
I mean, Rock versus Taker, yeah, I can see it, but I actually want to see Rock versus Cena, Cena versus Taker, just because they haven't mixed it up, and it's two current guys on the roster. Well, semi-current, Taker's featured, but...
Well, we have a lot to get in with Taker later on in the program.
Yeah, this is going to be a very Taker-heavy show. Just warning everybody now.
The second hour is going to be a Taker, 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 and Taker.
It's his fault for having his birthday on Saturday. By the way, happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Undertaker.
So we're giving you your birthday present early by talking nonstop about you for 2 hours.
All right. Going back to the thing, okay, so you guys, the reason I brought up Austin and Cena is Cena was on a radio program earlier this week, and he talked about, he was asked the question, who would he would like to fight? Who of the past he's never fought before that he would like to fight? The first reaction was for him was The Rock, but he couldn't say The Rock. The next name was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Even the radio host brought up that Punk has been, you know, going after Stone Cold Steve Austin and how they're going to have to fight it out for the chance to fight Steve Austin because Steve has a match left in him and everyone wants it. And just, if you think about WWE's marketing, this is the match. That's a top-end match they could promote for a year. They can build WrestleMania around Steve Austin's return to the ring. Like I said, they don't have to announce the match because that's going to kill any build they possibly do. I just shudder at thinking of them building another year-long match like that.
But yeah, basically you announce Austin's coming back at Mania next year in some capacity, and then maybe you start teasing it again when tickets go on sale. And I would hope that they wouldn't announce the match until either Survivor Series or the Rumble.
Right. You announce Steve Austin is wrestling, and that sells tickets right there.
Yeah. Austin. You know, even Austin's there. You just say Austin is coming back to Mania next year, then when the tickets go on sale, Austin will be wrestling.
Right.
At this show. We're not going to tell you who, but he will be wrestling. And that will put asses in seats because people will be there.
Oh, excuse me.
God, what the hell was that?
Wow. Okay.
Damn. Bless you.
I held in three, so I wouldn't get on there and last. Just... Sorry. Anyway.
Okay. Well, segue back out of that. Okay, so let's discount Austin and Cena. So let's WrestleMania 29 comes around. You're proposing we do Cena and Taker, correct?
Yes.
Well, Lindy is.
And then we do Austin and Punk as your top two matches. And then you have The Rock, who will be in that mix. Have him maybe fight The Miz. Trying to think of another heel they can work in there. Maybe it.
The Miz is the only person Orton. I can think of.
Turn Orton back heel?
That could work. I honestly, a Rock-Orton match could possibly be good.
Because here's the question. Way back in the day when Randy Orton first debuted, he was the quote-unquote legend killer.
Mm-hmm.
He never got Rock, did he?
I don't think so.
The only time they fought was a WrestleMania 20 in the 3-on-2 handicap match before he became the real legend killer.
So you turn Randy heel and you have him say, you know, there's, you know, I've gotten every legend in this company, legit, but there's one I haven't gotten. That's you, Rock.
Right. You have The Rock show up in November at Survivor Series or on a Raw, whatever you want to do. And you have The Rock just, you know, do his normal thing, have The Miz come out and interrupt, and, you know, Rock get the better of The Miz. And then out of nowhere comes Randy Orton. And he lays out The Rock with an RKO. And that's how you end that edition of Raw. And there, you don't see Rock for a few weeks. You have Randy Orton, you know, talk about his history as the legend killer, talk about how he's being all the legends except for Rock, and there's your build up for Mania. And then you go look at the card, you go, Austin, Punk, Cena, Taker, Rock, Orton, let's go. You go like, okay, that's $60.
Yeah, I would pay to see that.
Now, one thing, when do we see, like, this is all, just to make sure that I'm clear, this is everything The Rock expects, or is talking about that would happen the Monday after Mania 28.
No. I'm forecasting November stuff.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
The only thing I said was, you have The Rock come back in November of this year, and you start the build. You start everything later.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm sick of all this a year in advance.
The only thing if they want to announce something early, you announce Austin's returning at WrestleMania. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't give the match, you just you push everything. And if even you want to start things at SummerSlam and slow build that way, fine, because, you know, whatever. I would wait till November, but they want to go earlier. That's fine, but you don't do it anything now, because a year is too long, because these stories don't need a year.
They don't, and I think that's kind of why I'm sick of Austin and Cena already.
Brock and Cena.
Oh, yeah, Roxanne, sorry.
Well, I mean, for a lot of these matches, you know, particularly for Rock Cena, it doesn't necessarily need a build. It's The Rock versus John Cena. That's it. I mean, that's all you really have to say. People will buy just based on that because you have The Rock returning. He's going to wrestle. People will pay to see that. And people will pay to see him anyway. Just like the little fangirls, fanboys, moms, gay guys, whoever likes John Cena will pay to see him wrestle.
Wow. Okay.
As long as they don't like Kane, it's fine with me.
Huh?
As long as they don't like Kane, it's fine with me.
I have a friend who's of that persuasion, who's a really big John Cena fan, okay? He wants to do things to him that I'm pretty sure are illegal in all the 48 states, plus Alaska and Hawaii. Just saying. So yeah, I have heard fantasies that have made me stay up at night. But anyway...
What do you and Omega talk about?
All kinds of things. For whatever reason, it usually involves paddles and leather straps. I have no idea. That and his French maid outfit, I'm just not entirely sure.
Oh,
you know?
God. He's going to call in and kick your ass, dude.
He's not listening.
Well, you know, one other thing about the John Cena Rock match, at least one way to look at it, that for some reason... The WWE that I noticed that either they didn't see or chose not to to do it this way is, I know a guy here locally that I used to work with at my old job who was a big Rock fan back in the Attitude Era. Loved the Rock. He was single and didn't have a child at the time. So he spent all of his money, he claims, on WWE and going to shows, which is cool. I mean, that's what I do. Now he's married, he has a son of his own, and he has a stepson who's like 11, who's a big John Cena fan. So it was like the older generation versus the younger generation. It was a thing where the father and the son could enjoy the pay-per-view together because each respective head of their generation was going up against each other. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that was one aspect of this match that WWE always missed.
I could see that, but I think that's what this special is gonna do. It's gonna try to tie in past generations.
Yeah, they're making more of the Taker Trips match about the end of an era, the end of the Attitude Era, and they're making Rock Cena less about that, which they're kind of missing an opportunity because they could tie it all together because you have a bunch of new school versus old school matches and you could totally make this new school versus old school, but...
Oh, yeah, all the way around.
I don't want to rehash that from WCW.
Oh, God. Don't... Let's not. Please, let's not.
What? Come on, you totally love that New Blood storyline.
New Blood Rising. Christ. Let's bring back Sean O'Hare. Hashtag bring back O'Hare.
Wouldn't he have to lose a whole bunch of weight first? Because I think he got really fat.
I'm not sure about that one. I don't keep up on Sean O'Hare, sorry. I know, it's shame on me.
To our loyal four people listening to this show, somebody go out and figure out if Sean O'Hare got fat.
Sean O'Hare got...
Well, while they're looking it up, let's move on to the next topic.
Okay.
A recent announcement made at SmackDown taping. Yokozuna is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yay!
I'm happy about this. Yokozuna is he was a great champion. He brought an element to WWE that was very unique. Unfortunately, he paid for it with his life as we lost him at 36 years old. Mm-hmm. But there's been a lot of big men in the WWE. big in a lot of different ways. But Yokozuna was, yeah. Yokozuna was Yokozuna. I mean, just his name, Yokozuna, is the word for, I mean, the sumo champion.
Right.
You don't get any better than that, so.
And by the picture,
Samoan sumo champion ever.
Yeah.
It worked, though. That's the thing. I mean, I remember watching it at the time, and I didn't even question the fact that he wasn't really Japanese. He looked the part. So, it didn't matter to me. And of course now I notice it, and now I'm all nitpicky about it, but, I mean.
Right. Every time you bring up Yokozuna, it goes in my head. I hear the Slammy song with Todd Pettengill going Yokozuna, Yokozuna, the Federation's big kahuna. It's like it's ingrained in my head. Anytime Yokozuna is brought up, it's like, wow, okay. It's like the oddest thing that's connected. And the other connection is when the ropes break at the SummerSlam pre-show in '96
against Austin. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, the pictures of him squashing every single person. There were appearances on Raw where he stacked like three local wrestlers up in the corner and getting bonsai drops on top of all three of them. Which, that's a lot of man dropping
okay,
down.
Okay,
I have
a serious question, and I doubt any of you will know the answer. But you don't eat yourself to be that fat. There's no way. Something was wrong with him.
No, people are naturally built like that.
I don't believe that it's possible that you can eat yourself that heavy. For some reason, I just don't believe that.
Have you not seen the shows on Lifetime or the Learning Channel? Or
yeah, I was going to say that Ruby chick that, is 400 pounds. Basically, go to watch TLC and My 600-Pound Life.
Yeah,
that
I've never seen that.
That will scare the crap out of you. There was actually, when I was working at the airport, a TSA agent, God bless his soul, he must have weighed 600 pounds because he took up an entire hallway when he walked down it. You could not walk past him.
Oh, my God.
He was.
He worked for the government, didn't he?
And he was a TSA agent. I looked at it this way. If there was ever a terrorist, he could sit on them.
Yeah, we'll give him the job of filling up Glenn Jacobs at the airport.
I thought you wanted that job.
I do, but they won't let me because I'm female.
Yeah, they don't let the girls fill up the guys, and they don't let the guys fill up the girls.
If I put on my resume that I'm a lesbian, thus don't care, and get a job at the Knoxville airport, maybe.
No, they still make the lesbians fill up the girls. Trust me, I know. I had one tell me I had nice legs one time.
Are you kidding? Wow.
I had to do a pat down, and she was patting me down, and she said, "Wow, you have really strong legs. I like them." It's like, oh God, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, I've had to have a pat down at the airport. Had a family member pass away. Had to buy a last minute ticket, and I had to go through a pat down. It sucked. Okay, but anyway, I'm sorry. Back to
the topic.
Back to Mr. Rodney Inouye. So, how do you pronounce his last name, by the way? A-N-O-A-I? Anyway, Yokozuna's going to the Hall of Fame. And
let me ask you the question. Where does he rank in terms of the big men in wrestling, in your opinions?
Well, when I think of a big man in wrestling, I think of Stud, Kane, Taker, Show. Men who are just big all around. I don't know how tall Yokozuna was, but his Taker and Kane are known for their size, their height, and their weight. Yokozuna was just known for his weight.
I would say he's up there in their ranks, just because if you look at him, he was a large man width wise, if you want to put it like that, but he didn't move like that. If you looked at the way he moved in his matches, he was very athletic.
He was 6'4", and at times close to 600 pounds.
Oh, God.
But he didn't move like it. If you look at him, he was very, very agile for his size. So it was very unassuming.
I just wonder, how do I say this? Obviously, he had some health issues if he died at a heart attack at 36 years old. But I'm also wondering, I know he was Yokozuna. I know that being the, you know, the sumo wrestler was his gimmick. But shouldn't someone have stepped in at some point? I mean, wasn't enough to be 500 pounds or 450 pounds?
WWE did step in at times. They wanted him to lose weight, and that's why he was no longer with the company. They asked him to lose weight. And at one point, he did drop like 100 pounds, but he was still, he was still too heavy at that point. He didn't lose enough to satisfy what they wanted from him. They realized he was gaining too much weight, because I think he was getting close up to 700 pounds.
God.
And I think when he passed away, he was even larger than that. I think he was maybe in the 800-pound range.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think so. He was pretty huge.
And he certainly, and I don't mean to sit here and say, you know, anything bad about him, you know, as far as his weight. I mean, I'm not one to judge anyone as far as, you know, not being perfect. God knows I'm far from it. But it was a concern. I mean, I don't know. My guess would be, going back to what I was saying earlier, I don't believe the ropes broke by accident. I think they meant for that to happen, because Austin was right there to roll him up after it happened. But still, I mean, wow.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where do you think he ranks in terms of big men?
Not having been exposed to him that much.
Okay.
And having, you know, just basically being able to see his matches on YouTube and some of the run he did with Taker and that kind of stuff, I would say he's not, overall, he's up there for me, just because I marvel at how he did move. And I kind of marvel at the character, because it was such, you know, yes, it is a Japanese stereotype, but it was a well-done stereotype.
Played by a Samoan.
Played by a Samoan who could hold his own. And I like that, especially since I look down the line, however many years later, at the next quasi-Japanese stereotype, not Tajiri, but
Tensai?
Whoever the... No, not Tensai. Before him, the guy that had the geisha girl with him. What was his name?
Kenzo Suzuki?
That guy! I look at how they did him versus how they did Yokozuna, and they did Yokozuna so much better.
Well, yeah, that's when they actually had gimmicks.
But, yeah, I mean, I would say Yokozuna's up there. But again, not having been exposed to him or a lot of the other big guys of the past, I can only really rank him in comparison to Sho, Nash, Taker, Kane, and more recent guys.
I feel like... Again, I know his thing was being the, the sumo wrestler, but it's really hard to place him high up on the list, because one of the things that make the people she mentioned, Kane, Taker, Nash, Sho, unique, is that despite their size, these guys were able to do some insane things. I will never forget seeing the video of seeing Sho do a dropkick off the top rope. Taker does old school, Kane does a flying shoulder block off the top rope. You know, these guys, despite their size, are in incredibly good shape and are incredibly gifted athletes. Now, I will agree with everything that Lindsay said, that Yokozuna was able to do a lot of things considering his weight, but his weight limited him. His weight really, really limited him. And so, I mean, he definitely ranks up there as far as big men, but because there were so many other men who were still big men, but half the size, and able to do so much more because they didn't carry the burden of the, of the weight, I just can't rank him. I mean, I can't rank him, I'd say, even in my top 10, unfortunately.
I would disagree. I would say, okay, your big men are Nash, Sho, Kane, Taker. That's your first tier. What's your second tier of big men?
I would probably say Stud, Earthquake. I don't know if you'd consider... Wow.
Isn't this like, it's a thoughtful question. It's like, you know your first tier, but when you think of your second tier, it's like,
Yeah, it's hard to say.
So you would have him, I would say he's in that second tier with the likes of Big John Studd, Earthquake, King Kong Bundy. He's in that.
Bundy, yeah.
He's in that group.
Yeah, and I believe, I think everyone, with the exception of Nash, everyone that we just named was a Hall of Famer.
Well, not
show. Secret King and show. They will be, though. I honestly believe those three will be Hall of Famers at some point. So, yeah. I still think that first of all, we would still be talking about him now if he would have got his weight down when WWE wanted him to. And he would have been able to do more if he would have done what they did. Here's my point. If he was 800 pounds, 700 pounds, and still wanting to not lose weight and even giving up a position with the WWE because he didn't want to lose the weight, I mean, why would you want to be that heavy? But number two, why would you want to be that heavy and be willing to give up something that there are guys all over the world that are busting their ass just for a chance to have it that some of them will never have? It's almost like he wanted to be that heavy.
As a side note, Wikipedia lists his weight at the time of his death as 680 pounds.
Right, I'm gonna say this point. It's not he wanted to be that size. Maybe he couldn't control it.
I mean, that's very possible. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure I opened up this saying, how can you be that, you can't eat yourself that heavy. I mean, there's no way. So, I mean, I believe ultimately.
You can, but there's also conditions where even though you're trying to lose weight, you just can't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, the entire diet industry is what it is because people struggle and struggle and struggle and, you know, can't do it or maybe can't afford the professional help necessary in order to get it done. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I mean, every normal person in existence has wrestled with their weight. I have. All my life I have. So it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like, between the resources that WWE had, they wanted him to lose weight. He left the company because of it. Something was up there.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, just as a side note, because you can look at Paul Bearer, and at one time I think he was close to that weight as well. He got huge.
Yes.
And he had the stomach surgery.
Yeah.
And he's back down again.
Right. So, I mean, but unfortunately, whenever you're talking about a person, you know, we talked about, you know, some people can't help it. When you're talking about a human being, an actual person, yeah, you should not define any human being by their weight. Because some people honestly have issues that cause their weight to either be higher or lower. So, yeah, you should never just judge a human being by their weight. The problem is that he, as a performer, was defined by his weight. So the same thing that made him a spectacle, same thing that made him a WWE superstar, is unfortunately the same thing that did him in at 36 years old.
34.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Worse than I thought. So, I mean, certainly his time with the WWE, he did a lot of good, and I'm not saying I don't think he's deserving of his Hall of Fame position. It's just unfortunate that what got him there, you know, is the same thing that took him from us.
Can I point something out real quick?
Sure.
Please do not come to the Wild Talk Radio Network seeking medical advice, because we're not trained in any fashion to hand out any medical tips for losing weight, for colonoscopies, menstruation, or any other medical situations.
The colonoscopy things depends on who you are.
Okay, just don't come to us, because we won't have the truth.
Who's coming to us for medical advice?
I'm just pointing it out there. I'm just
he's the EP. It's his job.
I'm just throwing it out there, making sure, you know, no one take any of our advice seriously.
We're not giving any medical advice, are we?
We're just talking medical stuff. I'm just pointing it out there. Don't take us for everything we say for fact, because most of the time we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
No, we don't. That's why I'm not giving out any advice.
We're just three people with a microphone.
I work for nurses. I am not a nurse. Just
we're just three people with a microphone, and we're just, you know, talking about the sport we enjoy and love and care about on a daily basis.
Right. But, Lindsay, what do you think about Yoko going in?
I think it's about time. It's been a long time coming. I will say this. I mean, he's definitely deserving, and yay for him finally going in.
Rock?
He deserves it. Is King Kong Bundy in?
Don't think so.
Because that's a name I'm shocked at. If he's not in, that's one name I'm shocked that's not in the Hall of Fame yet if Yoko's going in.
Yoko is one of those people, honestly. Somebody asked me once a stupid question. What, are you upset that Undertaker is not in the Hall of Fame? No. Number one, he's not retired yet. Number two, yeah. At this point, while I do agree Taker should go in, I wouldn't put him in yet just because there are people who are just as deserving as he is who have been away longer and have not gotten in yet. Yoko would be one of them. So, sure.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Taker goes, Taker, they need to hold off because he's going to be one of those that he's going to get his own spotlight. It's going to be similar to Shawn Michaels going in.
Taker may be the only one they induct that year. I mean,
no. Shawn. No, because, I mean, they inducted Shawn Michaels with a full class. It's just he had the spotlight that year. And that will be the way they do Taker.
Right.
Is he will be the spotlight that they use to sell the tickets for. But there will be other people that go in with him.
Right.
Unless they just can't find anybody. But there's a whole list of folks that deserve to go in, so I'm sure they can find other names. I just feel bad for them because they're not going to necessarily get the recognition that they really deserve just because everybody's there to freaking see The Undertaker, and it's going to be unfortunate like it was with me with the Road Warriors and Abby and a couple other people where it's like, come on, just hurry up and get Shawn Michaels. That's why I'm here, you know, so it's like, I feel bad for whoever's got to go in, you know?
Yeah, the Road Warriors are a big deal. They probably didn't deserve to be outshined by anybody. And another one that should be going in sometime soon that I'm looking forward to is Savage needs to go in as soon as possible.
Here's the thing. With Savage, there's complications unless Poffo gets off his ass and, you know, decides he wants to go in because I think he's the holdup.
Yeah, don't be Martha, okay? Let the man in. Just saying.
Because the only way Savage was pretty vocal about the fact that, you know, the only way he wanted to go in is if the whole family goes in. And at this point, I think it's his brother. I want to say Larry. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a genius. Here's my thing about that. Rock, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Randy Savage ever say that? Or did Larry say Randy Savage said that?
I think Savage said it. I'm not 100% sure. I honestly don't remember where the quote came from.
I never read anything where Savage says that when he was alive. The only thing I ever saw was his brother saying he said that. Which, if that's the case, I think is kind of bad.
But you don't know what was said behind closed doors to people.
Well, no, yeah. I don't. But it's also possible that he could be holding up Savage's legacy because he wants to go in. I mean, when you look at it, what did he do in the WWE that made him worthy of the Hall of Fame? His dad, I'm not questioning. Right. I'm talking about him.
But this is going to sound horrible, but when they put Randy in, if they ever do, it's not going to be what you want because Randy's not here.
I just want him to go in. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, I'm surprised he's not in already, considering how long he's been out of the WWE.
Well, there were issues there between Savage and Vince.
Oh, of course.
So that's why he never went in when he was alive, is I think Savage probably turned it down. And then he hasn't been gone a year yet, unfortunately, and it was a sad day when we lost him.
Or Vince was just waiting for him to die. That way he could do it without having to deal with him.
Well, I mean, truth be told, if Vince wanted to put him in, if it was a case of we want to put the Macho Man in, they could say fuck you to the Poffo family and put him in. and not, and just do it without their consent. But I don't think they want to do it like that, because that doesn't accomplish anything.
Well, how come they don't just put Owen in without Martha's consent?
Because, again, that doesn't accomplish anything. You don't want to rehash old wounds, plus she would sue the shit out of them.
Because she owns the right to his name and likeness.
Yeah. So, I mean, as much as they would love to, I'm sure, as much as they would love to put Owen in, or as much as the family would love to see Owen go in, as long as she's alive, it's never going to happen. It, you know, it's going to be years down the road that Owen Hart will finally go in, and then by that point, nobody will really even know or care.
Oh, thank you very much, Martha Hart. And anyway, I say on that note, we go to break?
Yes.
Okay. This is Jackie, this is Lindsay, and this is Rock. This is The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. We will be right back right after this.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show. Producer's the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why do you think Rob Parks didn't do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. Insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it now.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Buzz, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
To
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go! Bye-bye.
Welcome back to The Rack. My name is Jackie, and I'm here with Lindsay and Rock. And to this day, that music gives me chills. Oh, my God. Love that.
That music gives me something else I usually start looking around for him, but he never shows up.
So before we go into our big segment, I want to take a moment to remind everyone that next week you want to be here. Next Thursday, on our show, we will have the one and only Diamond Dallas Page.
Yes. Yay!
Cross fingers and toes and make sure he doesn't get sick between now and then. But he's scheduled to join us next week live, 11 p.m. Eastern.
We were supposed to have him here last week. Unfortunately, he fell ill, and so he was not able to be here. And not only are we going to talk about his DDP yoga, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a bit interested in this party he's been pushing.
Yeah.
And I know that I can't afford to be there, but certainly if someone else could be there, apparently he's going to be at a party for WrestleMania, and I recall looking over the list of people who are going to be there, and I believe Nash is going to be there, and Sonny is going to be there, amongst others. So definitely you will want to be here to hear that, and if you're anywhere in the area, hell yeah, fucking go, I'd go.
Seriously. You get to party with Sonny, Nash, and DDP. No harm there.
I know, that would be awesome. And then in the middle of it, y'all can, we'll call in Trish Stratus, have her go, and we'll do some yoga.
There we go. By the way, I would also like to thank Alan Wojcik from Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, which you can listen to every Tuesday night at, what, 8:30?
9-ish, 9.
Right here on
Wild
Talk.
That's how we do things around here, ish.
Ish, 9-ish. For his apologies concerning a statement he made, but on Wrestle Talk Radio. But there was really no need to apologize, Adam. God, I can't talk. There was no need to apologize, Alan. We're fine. But I appreciate the apology.
Oh, okay, cool. So let's start with, I'd say, do we want to start with maybe the infamous Iron Sheik tweet of the week?
I would say so.
Okay.
It's time for Sheik tweet. Well, you're the one I'm expecting you. I'm a most handsome boy that's too many to go. And you're the one I'm expecting you. Well, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm gonna wax your ass. And then you're gonna be haunted.
Okay, now I want to start by apologizing and saying that I don't have
a tweet this week because my Firefox is having some issues, and every time I try to connect to Twitter, I get, you have asked Firefox to connect securely to Twitter, but we can't confirm that your connection is secure, and I've had this all day.
Okay, so, well, I actually have
I don't
two.
Have one. Okay, that works.
So I have one for you and one for me.
Save my ass. Thank you very much.
That's what friends and co-hosts are for.
Thank you, darling.
So, Rock, do you want to go first?
No, you can go first.
Okay. These kind of coincide. So, the Peyton Manning new religion is beat the fuck out of the Tim Tebow, make him pray to Jesus, he don't get old country way.
I hate
Hashtag
you.
Hashtag Team Cheeky.
I hate you.
Oh, that was yours?
Because I took yours.
Yes. I'm looking now
and
for
then
another one.
The other one is the Tim Tebow need new religion. Which one? The Jew, the Muslim, the alcohol? Hashtag Team Cheeky.
Hate you so much. I'm sitting here looking. I was reading. I'm like, okay, that's a good one. Damn you. Damn you.
I know.
Damn
I was
you.
I was looking during the intro. I'm sorry. I forgot to look for it this week.
And I don't know what the deal was with my Twitter, but I'll have two next week.
Okay.
Well, you said you had two?
What she said were two different ones.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, by the way, apparently, speaking of Twitter, Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels are apparently hunting together. This is going to be incredibly epic.
Yes, when I am dead tomorrow morning, it will be because Texas has exploded.
Yes, he just posted a picture on Twitter of two debt veterans discussing hunting horns, guns, bows, wrestling, and catching up on old times. And it's him and Sean talking, which is a complete win.
I'm trying to picture Stone Cold Steve Austin and a Christian hanging out together.
Well, to be fair, they were friends probably before Sean went all Christian.
Yes.
No offense to anyone who is Christian. But anyway, Rock, do you have your tweet?
I love the America and I love the Canada. I hate the fucking Ultimate Warrior. He have the smallest dick in the world.
One of us needs to tweet to Iron Sheik who has the smaller dick. Ultimate Warrior, Tito Santana, or Hulk Hogan.
Or the Virgil.
Or the Virgil.
And the Virgil. Yeah. Or the Coney, or the Chris Brown, or the Black Precious. By the way, I like the Black Precious, so... That man.
I almost did the Atlanta tweet just because he you know, cheap pop for my hometown, but I was good.
You didn't do it.
You
were good. And this is where I say, if you're on the website, click the ads. There you go, Tim. There's your little shameless plug. Click the ads if you're on the website. Anyway.
Yes, click the ads. Make us money. Donate. There's a donate button, too. You can send us money because we do this shit for free.
Free.
So we would like to be able to pay for our website without having to work four jobs and then do this in our minimal off time.
Exactly.
Because, you know, being a stripper in Salt Lake is just no fun.
Oh, God.
On that note, let's turn on the music.
I was going to say it's time for some foreplay, isn't it?
It's time for some foreplay. And we'll start with Lindsay. What's your favorite Kurt Angle moment?
When he left WWE.
Oh, God. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Simple, easy, to the point. Jackie, would you like to see John Morrison return to the WWE?
Yes, as long as he comes back with a new gimmick.
And that gimmick would be?
Anything else than the Jimi Hendrix gimmick he had.
Okay, we'll stick with you, Jackie. Which is the better lid? The Undertaker's old man lid or Kane's bucket hat?
Kane's bucket hat. And there's a whole inside joke there that Lindsay knows that I'm not going to go into right now.
Yeah. And God, I'm last. I'm scared now.
So what was your pick? Kane's bucket hat?
Kane's bucket hat.
You're not a fan of the Undertaker's old man lid?
No. Besides, Glenn Jacobs looks absolutely adorable in a bucket hat, so. Just saying.
Okay. So, Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
If Omega was a sex toy, what sex toy would best represent him?
Oh, God, there's so many.
Is there such thing as a Transformers vibrator?
There's a rabbit vibrator.
She came up with that really quick, didn't she?
I know more about sex toys than I should.
Oh, God.
Basically. I'm going to stick with rabbit vibrator, because that's the only thing that comes to mind.
That must be her favorite.
Definitely does the job, I'll say that.
So Meg is a rabbit vibrator.
He's a rabbit vibrator.
Don't they call it the Jessica Rabbit?
I've never heard it called that.
Yeah, I know there's a Jessica Rabbit one.
There is one that you can actually plug into your iTunes, and it vibrates based on the music on your iTunes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's when you crank up the bass really high, right?
Yeah.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was this week's edition of Foreplay.
See, we're educational in addition to doing wrestling.
You come here, you get wrestling and edumaction.
There you go.
So, what's next?
The next is going to be an hour-long squee about the Den Man. We're going to talk a little bit about his WrestleMania matches, all the people that he's beat, how many times he's beat them, and all kinds of stuff. Just everything about the streak.
All right, kick
us
off.
So that we can actually talk about WrestleMania next week. We're doing you all a favor this week, trust me.
We're getting it all out of the way tonight.
So my first thing I want to say about the streak, it's not really about the streak, just in general. I've been doing some research about the Undertaker streak online. Fucking stop with the Roman numerals, people. I am stupid. Okay, I can't read Roman numerals without having to stop and I count every single I and note which side of the V it's on.
And really?
I'm sorry. I fail. And it's what gets me is it's like it's always VI, VII, IX, IX, XII, and then they have the nerve to come out with 13. Like, for Christ's sake, people. You don't look smart because you're writing in Roman numerals. You're a wrestling fan.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Fair enough.
But I have found a man to comprise a list of all of his opponents, the first starting with Snuka at WrestleMania 7, all the way to last year at 27, where he beat Triple H for the second time. And I figure we'll just pick apart a few of these and just kind of see where we get.
Okay.
Okay, let's start.
Ones that I've seen.
Yes.
Seen. Okay, let's go.
Since we want to do ones that Lindsay's aware of, let's start with our favorite one. His match against his brother Kane at WrestleMania 20. Go ahead, darling. You go first.
I love that match. If nothing else, for the opening and the intro alone,
yeah.
Kane's acting through that whole thing sold it. Because you have Kane walk out so confident, so brave, and he's like, "You're not coming back. I buried you alive. You're not coming back." On and on and on, and then we get the lights go out, and the purple light comes up, and the druids walk out with Pallbearer. And I have to tell you about this moment, because this was the first time I had ever been exposed to the quote-unquote dead man gimmick of The Undertaker. Prior to that, I had only seen The American Badass. I had never seen anything prior to 2000, aside from what's on YouTube and the Taker DVDs. So it was a really cool moment for me as a fan to get to see him go back to that gimmick, especially when Pallbearer came out. Because I had only been exposed to Pallbearer when he worked with Kane. And I remember being on the phone with four of my best friends, and we were having a four-way phone call, and we were sitting there all watching WrestleMania together. When he came out, and we all four screamed like the fangirls we were when he walked out as the dead man. My only side note to that moment was that goddamn hat that I hate so much. I was so happy when he went back to the other hat, but yeah, that moment and that whole match, especially Kane's acting once he got in the ring, and if you have HD, if you watch it in HD, you can actually see Taker biting his lip, trying not to laugh at Kane, which is amazing. But yeah, just that whole beginning of the match sells it. I don't even remember what they did in the match because I only watched that first like part of it, and then I just forget about the rest.
Which one are you talking about? WrestleMania 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought you said 14.
No, okay. 20.
No, at 14 it was... Oh, no, that was their first match. No.
Yeah. Okay. Which was epic as well.
Right. I was just. I thought I heard Jackie say 14, and then you were talking 20. I was just trying to, keep track. Okay.
Yeah, 14 was a good one, too. Even though Kane did not win that match, I still think that he came off... I mean, when you consider the legend of The Undertaker, and when you consider... what is considered the gravity of the Tombstone Piledriver, and the fact that it took three tombstones to put Kane down, even though he lost the match, he still came over as badass in that match, I think.
Okay.
Well, what was awesome about that one versus the one at 20 was the build for that match, because that was the first time they had, quote-unquote, ever fought.
Yeah, which obviously we know that wasn't true.
But yeah, because they fought as, Fake Diesel, I think,
and Isaac Yankum. And Peter Bomb versus Undertaker and all that fun stuff.
Which you can find on YouTube. But
yes, we were going over it yesterday.
Yes, we were. But the build for that match was so epic. Because it was, you had Undertaker refusing to fight his brother, and then Kane finally just pissed Taker off to the point where it's like, you know what? Fuck you, I'm gonna kick your ass. And
basically.
I mean, you go back and you look at some of the shit they did in that feud, and there is no way in hell you could pull half that crap off today.
Yeah, definitely.
No way. I mean, I'm convinced there's something completely magic to that first initial introduction of Kane and the build between the two brothers that they've never been able to, recapture, just because they can't recapture that time.
Well, not only because they can't capture that time, but this is probably just my own bias singing through here, but Glenn Jacobs and Mark Calloway are two of the greatest performers the WWE has ever had. And when you have two of your best performers pulling off a storyline, it can only be wonderful.
Well, I think also that was self-booked. I think Bearer and Taker and Glenn Jacobs were booking that, if I remember correctly. Or at least right. Taker and Bearer were booking that, because I think they were the ones that suggested that they handpicked Glenn Jacobs for Kane and suggested that he do it and push for him to play that character. And then he came in and he's pulled it off so brilliantly now for what? 97? So 13 years? 14 years?
15 almost. Right.
15 almost?
15, right. 15 years this November. October, November.
Wow.
And when you kind of look back, Lindsay and I had mentioned that, there was a match that is, Isaac Yankum versus Kane, which was, I believe, on Superstars, that was an incredible match. Way back in the day, like 96, 97, I used to have, I think it was around the time, a little bit before he debuted as Kane, I got a Greatest Hits, WWE Confirmed Hits VHS that had that match on it. And I just happened to find it on YouTube, and I still remember every bit of that match because it was a great match. And then there's a great match on YouTube of Unabomb, that is Glenn Jacobs, versus The Undertaker. That was a great match. These two work well together. And
oh, they
so
have, they have great chemistry.
Oh, absolutely. So ultimately, that's what I think makes this feud unique, is that you have two people who like each other, respect each other, work well together. And playing opposite each other, I mean, you just couldn't do any better. But I think also when you look back at, it was right after, oh shit, I'm drawing a blank. What was the WrestleMania where Kane beat Chavo for the ECW title in, 2 seconds?
7 seconds. I think it was 24?
24. Okay, so they had a great match after that, too. That ended up getting interrupted by Edge and Chavo and Hawkins and Ryder. I mean, that match is great. I mean, these two people just work well together. And I think that's why they've had two great matches at WrestleMania. And because of this, if there was going to be someone to have a third match with Taker, I probably would have had it. I would have had it been Kane. Just because of their history.
Because of their history, but at this point, I would have liked to have seen the culmination happen of that feud. I guess I honestly think at this point, those two are done. Because Taker's no longer around unless he shows up for WrestleMania, which is sad that their last interaction, their last feud was the one that they had in 2010, where Kane finally got the upper hand and buried The Undertaker alive, which never got resolved.
Right.
Unfortunately, so, and I don't think we'll ever see a resolution to that, which sucks. But I wouldn't mind seeing them go one more time, just because they do have that great chemistry. And I think one thing that I love, especially about the match at 14 and the match at 20, is it's just two big brawlers mixing right. it up in the ring, especially the first time they go at 14. They're smacking each other around pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time they seem to get in the ring, they just mix it up, and they do such a beautiful job of convincing you that, yes, they really are kind of beating the crap out of each other. And you mentioned that match after Mania, where Kane and Taker both won the belts, or Taker retained and Kane won. I forget exactly which, but they were taking some legit shots at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Which was hilarious.
Right, and I have to agree with you. I don't care if they feud. I don't care if they work together again as Brothers of Destruction. I don't care if Taker manages Kane. I just want to see this one more time. If we will, I doubt it. But it would be nice.
Well, we will see it one more time when Taker retires.
I hope so. Well, Rock, what do you think?
Before I throw out ideas, I'm gonna all day long on Facebook, I've been posting, The Undertaker's greatest WrestleMania moment is. And mm-hmm. we've had a bunch of responses to this question. I'm going to throw some out to you, and then we'll discuss them. So, one person chimes in. Let me pull it up. One person actually said, when going one-on-one with Undertaker, that was SummerSlam.
Right.
Yeah, people can, you know, actually keep things, you know, correct. But
which was a great feud, by the way.
Right.
But moving on.
Jonathan Benjamin, he chimed in with WrestleMania 21 when he put over Orton. With the storyline of the legend killer, Orton Taker put on one hell of a match, which made me think at least a few times that the streak could actually be in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that was actually a really well done feud as well. And Taker definitely gave Orton a huge rub, and I think I think that led to a Hell in the Cell. Did they have the Hell in the Cell at Mania, or did they have it?
This didn't lead into Hell in the Cell, because I believe Orton worked this match hurt.
I'm thinking, because that was the one that was when Cowboy, his dad, was managing him, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Because I think that feud, I know that feud led to a Hell in the Cell. I just don't remember if it was at Mania or not.
I think when Orton came back that summer, because he took time off for a shoulder injury, I believe, at that point.
Okay.
I think he took the spring off and came back in the summer, and that's where they continue their feud.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and watch it. I remember it being a good match, but I don't remember much about it, because it's been that long since I've seen it. But I more remember the feud than anything else.
Which is fine, but yeah, that's one, you don't have to win a match to be put over.
Yeah.
And this was one of those where Randy Orton's stock rise just being in the ring with The Undertaker.
Well, oh, yeah. Taker at that point can do one of two things. He can use his power and strength and clothesline you, turn you inside out and pin you and have you look like shit. Or he can sell you. He can make it look like he's struggling. He could, you know, like, look at last year's match between Triple H and Taker. Even though Taker spent most of that match on his back, you believe Triple H really had trouble because what do I have to do? He told to stay down. You know, how you sell your opponent is what makes you look good. And Kane didn't win either. But he put Orton over that night.
Right. We also had Steven Espinosa chime in, beating Sid at WrestleMania 13.
That was a good one, because with that one, he won the title. And I remember after the match, he's holding the title up with his right hand and pointing to the audience with his left hand saying, "This is for you, this is for you." I wasn't there. I was watching that on pay-per-view, but that just, as a longtime fan supporter of his, that made me feel good.
Sell it, baby. Work it, work it.
Was that his first title win?
No. Yeah.
No.
Was it? His first WWE title win at WrestleMania 13?
No, he beat Hogan for it in like 92 or 93, okay, but he didn't hold it long. I think that was his second title win, okay. But it was the first one he won at Mania.
First one he won at Mania, okay. I'm just making, I wasn't positive. So I remember them talking, making a big deal that he won the belt then.
Okay. Here's another WrestleMania that I want to bring up, I believe is 19, where he actually beat two people.
Oh God. I remember that match. That was a... But I will say this, to his credit, I think that was the year we got the Kimmel appearance, which was awesome.
Yeah, I still love that.
The one Lindsay watched like 5 times last night.
He's adorable! The Undertaker doing a pillow fight. I mean, my God, when are we ever going to get that again?
I wouldn't mind seeing Undertaker in a pillow fight.
Well, go to YouTube and Google Jimmy Kimmel and Undertaker and you'll find it.
It's not the pillow fight she wants.
And let's see. Next was Undertaker defeated Ric Flair. Or another one to talk about. That was actually 18. And one thing I will say for Flair, Flair is a god in this business. But he's got bad luck at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
he lost to Randy Savage. He lost to Taker. He lost to Shawn. Has he ever won at WrestleMania?
Who, Ric Flair?
Yeah.
Yes. Part of the five-man handicap match with when he was part of Evolution.
But he's never won a singles match at WrestleMania.
Off the top of my head?
I don't think he has. I said he lost to Randy Savage at WrestleMania 8. Lost to Taker at 18. And I forget which one it was where he lost to Shawn.
24. Was it 24?
You got me.
Yeah, because 25, 26 was Taker, Shawn. So it was 24. Yeah.
So unless I'm missing something.
I'm trying to think of other Ric Flair matches. 19, he was in Hunter's Corner. 21... I'm trying to think of who Ric Flair's fought at WrestleMania, because...
Okay, well, fill time. I'm looking him up right now.
What do you think of the Undertaker? Because a lot of people chimed in with Snuka.
I mean, any match where you win is a good match, and any time you win at WrestleMania, it's a great match. But Snuka, I don't think it's as good as some of the others, just because he was a bit... The Undertaker had not developed to the status that he has now. When he beat Snuka, it was just a match at WrestleMania. And now, it's legendary. So, I would say, as he's gotten better, and as he's developed his character more, his matches are gotten better. So it's definitely great to watch him beat a Hall of Famer. I just wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't say it was one of the best. I'd have to respectfully disagree with that one.
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
It was just your typical match. It wasn't meant to be anything special, because it was just an Undertaker appearing at WrestleMania. It wasn't the spectacle that it is now, and apparently he's only like competing in a couple of WrestleManias, so Ric Flair, that is.
Yeah, he's only done a handful. He hasn't done any, but I mean, up until, you look at who he faced in the early years, up until he won the title from Sid at 13, he faced Diesel, he faced Bundy, he faced Giant Gonzalez, he faced Jake Roberts, and he faced Snuka, which now a lot of those names are legends, but then if you look at it, those were probably mid-card matches, maybe even openers, right, based on the time frame, so they weren't anything necessarily special for the time.
Yeah, I know his match with Diesel wasn't a main event. I mean, it was significant still, because it was Nash's last on-screen match before going to WCW.
No, that's incorrect, because he then ended up facing Shawn the next month.
Oh, did he?
For the belt.
Oh.
That was an In Your House where... Right.
His match with Taker wasn't In Your House?
No, Taker and Undertaker was WrestleMania. Then Diesel went on to fight Shawn for the WWF Championship at In Your House, and that was the night where they used Mad Dog Vachon's leg in the match.
Oh, right.
That was Diesel's final appearance before the whole Madison Square Garden incident before.
You were going to say Montreal Screwjob, weren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I knew what I was talking about. It was the Madison Square Garden incident in May.
Right.
So, but that's tangent, and let's tangent back. Other people, another one people were chiming in about is, you know, they also mentioned Jake the Snake and Giant Gonzalez as possible ones, because, you know, Undertaker, Gonzalez, you know, Gonzalez was that big guy you don't know anything about. He's just the big guy. He was one guy who, you know, the Undertaker was looking up at.
Yeah, that wrestling. Was weird. I mean, it was a bit of a, honestly, I wouldn't rank that match up near any of the top as far as his best, because that match was just a commodity match. I mean, yeah, to his match with Kane, for example, it was big man versus big man. But there was an underlying story there. These were brothers that were, you know, duking it out.
Right.
You know, or Triple H. There's always, at least for the last few years, there's always been some story behind this match at WrestleMania with Randy Orton, who was, oh, I'm the Legend Killer going after The Undertaker. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of anything behind Giant Gonzalez versus Taker, except, oh my God, we found someone bigger than Taker. Let's put them out there.
Right, and they're, I should say, they're reacting to moment, not the match, the moment of probably seeing those two eye to eye, or as close as they are eye to eye.
Eye to chin.
Eye to chin.
in
that case. On the opposite end, you have one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history, the Hell in a Cell here in Philly between Big Boss Man and The Undertaker.
That ended in a moaning.
Why would you... Okay, with all due respect to him, this was his second go-around in the WWE. I was never impressed with his second go-around in the WWE. I didn't think he was good enough to be facing WrestleMania, to be facing Undertaker at WrestleMania. That was ridiculous.
He was the sacrificial lamb to fight The Undertaker.
I guess so.
Basically, yeah, that because that was corporation versus ministry, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah.
He was the henchman trying to take out The Undertaker, and it wasn't the greatest match they've ever put on.
No,
incidentally,
really
if you want to read a really hilarious story about that match, read Adam Copeland's book, because he talks about coming down in that match and then almost getting killed afterwards. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that match was unfortunate. One of the things that I will say about this whole list here that I'm looking at is it's a bit unfortunate, and one of the things that irritates me about the fact that he's facing Triple H again for the third time, I am not taking anything away from The Undertaker. His streak is absolutely incredible. But they need to stop with the same people over and over. Again, this could be just the Kane mark talking, but when you consider that Kane and The Undertaker are brothers, maybe that I can understand why they would do that more than once. Because they're brothers. But there was no need for him to wrestle Shawn twice. There is no need for him to wrestle Triple H three times. If you're beating the same people over and over and over, it doesn't work.
Well, I can understand if he faces, you know, Shawn twice a year in a row was bad, but it wasn't as bad as him facing Triple H twice in a row. Because it's like, it just seems Trips is trying to make up for what Shawn did. I don't have a problem with multiples, provided they're spaced out properly. The Shawn situation was, you know, Shawn wanted to retire, and he wanted to give it to Taker, which was kind of shocking because she figured out of anybody in that company that would get it, it would be Hunter. But Shawn gave Taker the rub and said, I want you to be the one that retires me, or the company made the decision. We don't know who actually did it, but we assume that they all came to an agreement. Taker retired him, and that was that.
Jackie, the cops are coming for you.
I know.
Yeah.
They
don't.
They found that you've been stalking Kane. They're coming for you.
He fucking called the police on me. Shit.
Run!
Your badge has no power here. Be gone.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as Hunter going, you know, now, this year, they've done it well enough to the build that it's like, okay, all right, especially with the Hell in the Cell, it adds a finality to it. Mm-hmm. So I would hope to God this is the last year that they do it. If Taker does come back next year, and which we're, you know, at this point with the rumors that he will be there in some capacity, you know, I would hope that he does not face Hunter again.
No, I think this is it. I think this is the last repeat at WrestleMania.
I mean, honestly, I don't think there was anybody available really else for Taker to face. And also, I know for a fact that last year, Taker and Hunter felt that there was no special match on the card, so they said, we're going to have a match.
Right.
And that's how that happened.
Right. I want to ask Jackie something. What did you think of their first encounter?
Of Triple H and Taker's first encounter?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't... It could have been better, I thought. Honestly. I know that probably sounds horrible, but it was just like... I honestly didn't give... Possibly because of my fangirl status, I didn't give Triple H much consideration. It was just kind of, yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked. And so... I mean, I was not all that impressed with it, to be honest. I mean, I was rooting pretty hard for Taker. So, I mean, what do you mean specifically? Like, what did I think of it?
No, I'm just curious because there's a lot of people that call this one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history, and I disagree.
Oh no! It wouldn't be one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history. It's possible if that is a popular sentiment, and it could possibly be why Triple H wanted another go at it. Maybe.
Because there was all talk last year, they avoided talking about this match because they didn't like it. I thought this was a really good match. I thought it was a physically impressive match, the way they beat the living crap out of each other all over the arena.
Well, wait a minute. Let me clarify one thing. When you say their last match, are you talking about the match they had last year, or
the first match they had? The first match. I'm talking about the 17 match.
Yeah.
They beat the hell out of each other all over the arena that night. Because they got into the crowd and they took Hunter took the big bump, I believe, in the crowd.
I believe so.
Yeah, Hunter went off the stage or the scaffold or whatever it was.
Yeah. Right. So I thought that was a really good match. Well, I've heard other people go, that match sucked, yada, yada, yada. I was just curious what you thought of the match. Because I got Lindy's take, I believe last night.
It wasn't the worst match in WrestleMania history as far as Undertaker's matches go. I still say that one went to Gonzalez just because I don't feel that got any thought. It was just, you're big, you guys go out there and be big and wrestle. Would I say that it was the worst? No. Do I think, I honestly liked their match last year better, though. Even though not a whole lot happened, it was very dramatic. I liked the last year's better. So was it the worst? No. Was it the best? No. It was kind of just there.
Okay. It was just, you know, I like hearing other people's opinions on things like that compared to what everyone else is thinking.
Oh, certainly. And wrestling fans are more than a lot of groups. You know, we all think we know everything. But it's just... I gotta agree with the people who said it could have been better.
We don't know everything? What? I thought we do.
No, we don't.
Oh. Okay. Heartbroken now. I thought I knew everything.
I would have to say comparing X7 against last year, the match was better at X7 because obviously they were 10 years younger, they could do more, they both weren't as beat up, but last year... And I also felt that the earlier one had the better build, but last year had more drama.
Right. It last year had a lot more drama to it, and that comes with age.
Right.
Because there was more at stake.
Well, and also in looking at it, you would have to say that probably in the last, I would say, 5 years, Taker has been able to hand-select his opponents, whereas all the previous ones were based out of creative. I mean, I'm sure he could make selections or he could make suggestions, but ultimately it was Vince or creative's decision on who he was actually going to face.
Right.
You know, it's only in the last few years that he's been, that they've gone him and said, okay, who do you want to face? So, you know, you look at the matches and you look back at the matches of like Giant Gonzalez and A-Train and Show, Big Boss Man, and even the Triple H match. Those may not have been his choice, but he worked with what they gave him. And to Taker's credit, one of the things he's very good at doing is, you know, doing his best to make the person he's working with look good.
And going back to that handicap match, think about it. Originally, there was a point where it was going to be a tag match, and his partner was going to be Nathan Jones.
And then Jones got pulled because they figured out, oh, crap, he can't work. And Taker's working with him, and oh, crap, Taker can't even teach him what to do. Shit, what have we done?
I know. But let's go on to the Shawn stuff. Both of his matches made sense. Especially, you know, Jackie was talking about how she didn't see a reason for the two of them to fight 2 years in a row, but there was a lot at stake there. There was that 1 year he got so close to doing it. So close to being streak. And then you put the career on the line in the second one where you put everything at stake, and you could just feel that drama build between those two guys in those matches.
Yeah, one of the things that I liked about the Shawn feud is that, one, when they went the first time, it had been so long since they had faced each other. And it's like, oh my god, it's Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. I have to see this. Just because you know it's going to be good. You have two masters of their craft working together.
Right, and they teased that a year in advance. At the Rumble the year prior, when they were the last two in that match. They had like a 10-minute showdown in that Rumble to end it.
I remember that. And then they just gradually built that until Shawn challenged for Mania and Taker accepted. Because I remember Shawn Michaels did the whole thing with JBL. He was the employee of the month. And then they, you know, the Rumble came around next year and Shawn was going to face. And I think that's when Shawn was free from, around that time, was free from JBL.
No, he was still working. He was in JBL's corner that at the Rumble, and then No Way Out, he became free, and then he had to, you know, do certain matches to get a chance to fight for the streak, because somebody else who was trying to get it.
Vladimir, it was Kozlov.
Kozlov, yeah.
I remember we were all going, oh god, Vladimir Kozlov, oh god.
Please, let's not have the Undertaker versus Vladimir Kozlov. No, please, no, no, no.
No.
Yeah, I'd have to kill someone.
So, but yeah, I mean, they did a great job. That's how you do a year in advance tease. Right there. That's how you do it, WWE. Go back and look how you did that and then repeat if you're gonna do it again. But yeah, I mean, Taker Shawn made sense, and that was a great match. The storytelling was fantastic,
mm-hmm.
But I have to say the next year, the build was better. The drama surrounding the match was better. And then the match happened, and in my opinion, the match, it was a different kind of match, and you had just seen it the year prior, so it lost kind of that magic that the first year had.
Right.
It was still good, and it still had the drama there, but it was just like there's just something missing from it.
Missing, but at the same time, there were points in that match where it's like, Shawn might actually win.
Yeah, Shawn might actually do it, and then my only thing was when Taker told him to stay down, I'm like, bitch, kick his ass!
Yeah, once you got the Undertaker, take it from Lindsay and I. Once you get one of them on your back, you jump on it. Just saying.
Seriously. But I mean, it's like when Taker took pity on Shawn and he's like, you know, stay down. And, you know, Shawn's climbing up him, which just looked wrong on so many levels. But anyway, Shawn's climbing up the Undertaker and Taker's going, you know, stay down, stay down. You know, it's like, don't take pity on him. You're the damn Undertaker. Kill him.
We saw the human side come out.
Huh?
We saw Taker's human side come out for once.
I didn't like it. Don't ever do that. The fangirl don't like it. when you get all human and mushy. Just beat the fucker and be done with it. Although we got one of the greatest meetings afterwards, which was Taker looks at Sean and he's like, you're one tough son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I am hoping and praying, honestly, for the best as far as this match with Triple H and Taker is concerned. I am genuinely confused as to how we are, when you have something like matches with The Undertaker at WrestleMania that are, I know they're not rare, as in we have one every year, but when you compare the number of matches that a wrestler will have over their lifetime to a 12, you know, at this point, a 19, you know, streak thing, I mean, it's huge. It's very visible. And having the same person compete three times in something that's only happened 19 times is a big deal. And the fact that there's been two other times where the same two people have fought that same person twice as well is Shawn and Kane. This is seven matches out of 19 where it's been the same. So I hope they have something up their sleeves.
Well, adding the Hell in a Cell to it definitely ups the stakes. And also, this year is not about necessarily ending the streak. It's a part of it. But it's more, I'm going to end you, I'm going to end the era. And, you know, it does put into question, will they end the streak? We always ask that question every year. I don't think they should end it at this point. 10 years ago, yeah, okay, I could see them ending it and there not being a problem. But at this point, Taker goes 19-1, particularly towards the end of his career. Triple H is gonna need the Secret Service to get out of that building alive. Because people will riot.
He'll still end up dead because the government fucks up everything.
True. But I see Taker going 20-0 this year. And honestly, what I would like to see, just because he is healed up, he is rested, and he looks good, he sounds good. We have no idea what's going on under that hood, which reminds me, we need to get into Hairgate after this.
That's where we're going, yes.
That we will see him just go in and beat the shit out of Triple H.
Right. I think we've covered the streak enough.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling this is going to get really interesting. And, you know, take her hair, go.
Which one of us do you want to take it?
No, you go ahead, Lindsay. This Hairgate is yours, darling.
Hairgate is mine. Well, we had another picture surface of The Undertaker today. It was on Twitter. It was on Facebook. That showed his stark, bald head. And oh my god, if he shows up like that in Mania, you are going to hear Jackie and I cry. I shed tears today. It's not pretty, folks. Taker, I love you. If you're in the sound of my voice, I love you. I love everything you do, with the exception of marrying your wife. And so I just have to say the bald thing. Honey, you got those big ass ears. Not working for you. Please grow your hair back.
And here's the amazing thing. Me and Lindsay sat up last night talking about his hair.
We did. We actually sat up till, what, 3 o'clock your time?
Yeah.
Looking at videos on YouTube, trying to figure out when he cut his hair the first time, and if this is the first time he's actually shaved his head, or if he did it the last time, and the answer to that question would be no, he did not shave his head the last time, at least when he initially cut it. He could have shaved it when he was off, but I doubt that.
Right.
So this is the first time that on record we have that Taker has shaved his head. And if you look at the picture, it's out on Facebook. We can link it, I guess, on the archive.
You can find it on our Twitters at Wild Talk Radio, Lynn's Ward, and at Jackie Feist. I believe it's on all of our Twitters at some point.
Yes, it's on all of our Twitters. We haven't tweeted that much today, so go find it, look at it. It's a picture of him standing there with his bald head. And yeah, it does not look good. He looks weird. He looks old. No offense. But yeah, no, fail. So if that hood comes off, which is what we're all waiting for at Mania, and he is bald, I don't think I'll be able to sit through the Hell in the Cell. somebody's going to have to tell me how it turns out because I'm going to be too busy just wailing.
You're going to be wailing and just stalking. And you're going to be, how we put it last night, you're going to be looking at every detail of his head and go, no, please, no, oh, you did, oh, no. That's
yeah, there was a point in time where I almost had it in my head that, okay, this might be okay. He might look fine. He'll look a little weird. He'll look like when Kane first shaved his head. Yeah, no, I saw that picture today, and I'm like, this is not going to be okay. This is going to be...
Yeah, she actually said that to me today. This is not going to be good.
This is going to be... I didn't think I would ever say this or that Mark Calloway could do anything to ruin that character. But, oh my God, shaving your head and coming out bald is going to be bad. It's going to look bad. Please don't do it.
Well,
somebody
it's too
go
late
get
now,
him
a- honey. It's 10 days.
You know what? Go get him a toupee and staple it to his head.
We had one fan tweet us earlier today saying he looks like he is. He looks decent in person. He looked more like Big Evil in person.
Which may be an indication he's grown it. Because at that point, he had grown it back.
Right, because we're not sure how old this picture is.
It's probably from the summer, because it's... if you look at the picture and you look at it more closely, you can see the hairline, his hairline, which is an indication that he was just starting to grow it back. So I would say it's the summer, still summer, fall. Around that time when he first initially did it. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing stopping him from reshaving it.
And he probably has at some point.
So there is... He may have grown it back, but from all reports I'm hearing, he is coming out bald at Mania. Which is going to be terrifying if that's true. I hope to God somebody in that company looks at him and goes, no.
No one in
no.
that company is going to do that.
Hunter would.
Vince would. Stephanie would.
What, I mean, if he...
fucking Undertaker or no fucking Undertaker, they're not going to have him walk out there and look like shit. They're not going to let him do that. Because if he walks out there and he looks like crap and everybody turns off the show, granted, they've already got their money, but that's just a huge waste of time.
Well, I don't know how many people are going to get all the way through WrestleMania to that point and turn it off. They don't like his hair. I mean, I think you and I are a pretty unique group.
Well,
then I wouldn't do it either, but.
Well, here's the thing. Taker and Hunter are probably going to go midway. Rock and Cena are closing the show. That's a given. And you will probably have your mid-card main event be Taker and Triple H. And then that gives them the opportunity to go to intermission or do the musical act or whatever they're going to do. And that buys them time to get rid of the cell. Unless they're going to do the musical act, intermission, build the cell around the ring, or get the cell set up around the ring and do it when they come back.
But I honestly don't know that anyone's going to be watching the pay-per-view, see the Undertaker bald, not like it, and use that as an excuse to turn the channel.
They've done... People have turned things off for less.
Yeah.
I mean, because I have... Even if he... I don't want him to be bald. But if he comes out bald, I'm not going to change the channel. I'm not going to support him any less. And I'm as hardcore as they get when it comes to being an Undertaker fan. That would be...
I wouldn't turn it off, but I will sit there and cry through the whole fucking thing. I don't know if I could watch it.
Because in your mind, it's not him.
Yeah, it's... When he cut his hair as Big Evil, it was a big adjustment, but I got used to it and I liked it. And when Kane shaved his head, it's the same thing that happened with Kane. When Kane shaved his hair off, I could not watch him. I literally couldn't do it. It was one of those things that this is not right. This is not remotely cool.
Right.
And after 7 years, I got used to it, and it was fine.
Right.
I'm just weird like that. It's like he doesn't look like he's supposed to.
Right. And when The Undertaker, you know, cut his hair short the first time, since this is where I did a lot of research last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, looking through a bunch of things, We
I was right there with you.
I know. I was looking through. You see Survivor Series. You see things like that. And you can see at that point he was slowly getting there because he was braiding his hair a lot. He was giving the short look with the rest of his hair braided up. And he was, it wasn't that big, oh my god, he cut his hair, because he was already there, kind of.
And I mean, it's his head. He has every right to do with it what he wants, but I'm huge on the look. I'm huge on the whole presentation of the character, and he's always been very consistent and very good about presenting the character. And so to do something like this, it's a little shocking and it's a little jarring, and it will be okay and I'll get over it and I'll deal with it and I'll move on. But it's still kind of one of those things that it's like you look at him now, and one of the great examples, if you want to see what he's going to look like bald with the Taker garb, get the WWE magazine, I think from last month, where he's got his head is surrounded by flames. Mm-hmm. It's very apparent he is bald in that picture, but he's in the Taker garb. It doesn't look right. It just really doesn't look right. I mean, even we're all so used to him with that long black hair that it's too jarring of a change, and it doesn't look the way it should. It's like, dude, you need to have hair on your head. I'm sorry. You need to grow some hair. I can deal with The Undertaker with short hair because I've seen it and I can deal with it, but him bald with the beard, he looks like a bigger tattooed version of Austin.
That's a good comparison.
With these big ass ears sticking out. And if you don't believe me, go look at the picture.
Yeah, and we got a good look at Gunnar Calloway today, and he definitely got his daddy's ears.
Poor bastard.
So does this mean, Rock, that we go out on the Kane Squee of the Week?
That's what it sounds like we're going to be doing, yes.
Yay!
So let's bring up the minicam and let's go to the movies. Here's your Kane Squee of the Week.
It's a little difficult to get straight, but I use a razor. It works for me. Matteo, you know what I did today? No. I made an open invitation to the entire locker room to fight me tonight. Once I beat that person up, no one's going to remember what Rey Mysterio did to me last week.
It's interesting.
Someone's death meat. I didn't mean you for now.
Where's Punk?
Did you try the Pepsi machine?
I said, where is Punk?
I saw him earlier in the locker room. The locker room down there in the locker room.
Lindsay was squeeing for an hour over the no sell of the Pepsi machine.
I love that. I'm sorry, it's Santino and Kane. I'm a happy girl. Hashtag Santino is champ.
Started here, happened on TV.
Thank you.
Just saying.
We're the trendsetters.
So yes, that was your Kane Squee of the Week, and Santino and Kane is awesome. Because they did one other one. When else did they interact? Last year? Was it last year?
I think so, yeah.
And Kane, because this led to me seeing videos of Kane doing the trombone.
Oh, yes. That's right. WrestleMania last year. That was so cute.
But, that would do it for Kane's Squee of the Week. You two have anything else you would like to talk about this evening?
Just the only thing left to talk about, at least for me, is to remind everyone that they have to tune in next week for Diamond Dallas Page here, live, on the Rack.
Yes. And I'll be leading the interview, so God help us all.
She's going to be perfectly fine. Don't worry about
it. And everybody has to come and listen, because the better interviews we get and the better we do, the sooner we will get Glenn Jacobs to come on the show.
or Mark Calloway to come on the show.
Yeah, if we get The Undertaker on this show, Rock might have to leave that interview because you and I will both be dead.
Hi. I love you.
I love you. No, I was totally not making cracks about your wife. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, me neither. I've never said one word about your wife.
Your ears are perfectly fine.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
And now I think it is time to shill, and I say we start with Lindsay.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, and you can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack.
And I can be found on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. Next week, I will be doing a new episode of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, which you can find at thehistoryofww.com, with fellow Wild Talk host Alan Wojcik. So definitely check that out next week. And Rock?
Don't miss it. Saturday midnight Eastern time on CB Radio. Myself, Rob Parks, in some way. But the start of the show, the first, I don't know, 14, 15 minutes of the show is going to be me ranting, raving, dropping a pipe bomb on some moron from a Jerk Me Off podcast. So you don't want to miss what I have to say about this individual, because it's going to be legendary. So
tune in.
First 15 minutes of CB Radio is can't miss radio, and then we'll take calls and stuff about what I have to say and, you know, all that fun stuff. I'll answer any questions, and then we'll do the rest of the CB Radio show, the fun, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to say this now. It might be the WrestleMania preview show for Wrestle Talk Radio. I don't know, because no one answers a goddamn message when I say, you know, want to do a pre-show next Saturday? Of course, no one goes, sure, let's do that.
Sure, let's do that.
Right. Yeah, you would say yes, but Tim's like, I don't know.
Did you check the local bar? You may find Parks there.
So, I don't know what we're doing but it's going to be the Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's Alan Wojcik and Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, and it's their WrestleMania version of the WrestleMania preview. They also have Howard Brody and Vito DiNucci, and a special guest as well. Get your tennis rackets ready for that one. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. The Cheapwood paneling will give their WrestleMania picks as well. And as the girls mentioned, next Thursday night, DDP live right here on the Rack.
Whee! And so for Lindsay and Rock, this is Jackie. I promise next week no obnoxious sneezing into the microphone. Be here next week for Diamond Dallas Page. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Come.